Good morning, everyone. It's truly my pleasure to stand here before you this morning, to be able to break open the Word of our God and to be once more together, to be able to study together His Word after accomplishing those other acts of worship as is commanded to us through His Word. To our friends who are visiting us this morning, we thank you. Thank you for choosing us here at the Southeast Church of Christ to come and to assemble together so that we may give honor and glory to our God as His Word commands us to do so. You will please open your Bibles to the letter written to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, where we will be taking our lessons as we begin to conclude this second quarter that has been focused on the book of Judges from verses 22 and forward. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and forward. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who participate such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Will you please bow with me? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, once more we prostrate before Thy throne, Heavenly Father, through this avenue of prayer, drawing near to Thee, because the blood of Thy Son, that Lamb without blemish and without spot, through His blood, Father, has given us that great privilege that we are unworthy of. Thank you, Father, for that blessing. Thank you, Father, for extending Thy scepter and granting us that grace so that we may stand before Thee, and that we, Father, may be able to open our hearts to Thee and consult Thee through prayer. Father, as we now continue to worship Thy name and continue to give Thee all honor and glory, please, Father, open our minds. Allow us to put on hold the woes of this world, that we, Father, may put on hold our daily lives, so that we, Father, may focus on Thy Word, and that our minds may be fully concentrated on Thee. That You, Father, may be the object of our worship. That we, Father, may honor Thee in every way that Thou have commanded us to do so. And that, Father, it may not only be on this first day of the week, but that, Father, this may be our lifestyle. That wherever we go, our lamps may shine brightly before men, so that Thou may be glorified by the lips of those who see and acknowledge, Father, that we are citizens of Thy kingdom. Forgive us, Father, when we have not walked worthy of our calling. Forgive us when we have not walked in love or we have not walked in wisdom. And grant us, Father, the foreknowledge, Lord, to understand that ignoring Thy word leads, Father, to being, to surrendering over to immorality. Thus we ask, Father, that You grant us the wisdom, the humility, and the meekness to receive Thy word, Father, and that we may be doers of Thy word and not solely hearers. We thank Thee, Lord, once more. We ask and we pray not because we're worthy, but we do it in the glorious and powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In those days, there was no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. These are the concluding words of the book of Judges. And in reality, it is a very succinct summary of a turbulent period that should have never happened, as we've studied already. But as Brother Joel and I spoke earlier this morning, after our Bible class, he pointed out something that is worth taking note of, indeed, wise to meditate upon. The question of, is it true that there was no king in Israel? And the reality is that there was a king. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 8 when Samuel was not happy with the hearing that they wanted a human king, God declares to Samuel that he had always been their king, but they had never accepted him as king. And thus these words truly begin to change even more profoundly what the inspired amanuensis refers to when he says, twice in the book, thrice if you include chapter 18 verse 1, in those days there was no king. Well, no, there was a king. But it wasn't one that they wanted. It wasn't one that they accepted. And thus this reveals and sheds light even more on the reality, the sad and tragic reality, that God was indeed ignored by this world. That God indeed was not being obeyed and He was not being heeded to. The fact that the Hebrew amanuensis states that there was no king, not that God was not ruling over them, but they were not submitting to His will. They were not allowing His word to thrive in their lives. And thus, as we've already seen from chapters 17 and chapters 18 from last Sunday, a world that ignores God will build an illusory house, and it will indeed fall, brethren, pray, by breeding the spirit of covetousness. This morning we have entitled our lesson, A World That Ignores God Surrenders Over to Immorality. You will go to the book of Judges with me and put your little ribbon there in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 32, because we are going to be seeing how here in this application we are able to see indeed the period of the judges as it applies to them. And we're not going to read the entire chapter, but we will do as we did last week, where we will tie in Romans 1, 22, 32 with the happenings of Judges chapter 19, beginning there at verse 22 through verse 30. You see, here we find a story that is indeed heinous and tragic. It begins in chapter 19, verse 1, with a Levite and his concubine. A concubine that, says Scripture, was unfaithful to him and returned to her father's house. Now, it is typical for us to believe or to think about concubines in terms of the harem that kings usually had. Typically, we make perhaps the idea or the connection with a concubine with meaning some kind of authorized, if you will, a slave that would serve the king in his intimacy. But there were different types of definitions in the ancient days as to this word. And the majority of scholars agree that in the regular, perhaps the concubine was understood to be an illegitimate wife, if you will. She was understood to be a wife without the title. A woman who perhaps was not completely authorized to be the wife, but she was, if you will, a common law relationship. Quick parenthesis here for those who think that common law marriage is not unlawful. Well, then ask yourself, do you have a wife or do you have a concubine? And then ask her, which one would she prefer? But notice, brethren, that a concubine, by definition, through the historical scholars of the Bible, was an illegitimate wife. It was a man and a woman who were living as if they were husband and wife, but without the legal certification of their marriage. In certain cases, it was because the man was already legally wedded to someone else. And thus he would take on this woman as a second or third wife, but she would not be acknowledged as his legal wife. In the case of this Levite man, we do not know if that was the case or not. But we do know that this practice was already taking place, because remember that Abimelech was a son of Gideon's concubine. Thus we see that this was already a practice that was thriving in the land of Israel. And seeing that God's word was not being heeded, seeing that they were not following what God had commanded, we begin to see, as we set our stage up this morning, how when the household is not respected, it leads to the devastating consequences that we're seeing this morning and later tonight. But this Levite returns for his unofficial wife, his concubine. And it just so happens that in Judges chapter 19, we read that this man, as he is traveling, he has been delayed by, as scripture calls him, his father-in-law. And as this man finally makes the decision to take his wife back home, as he finally decides to take his concubine back to what he believed was a rightful place, he arrives upon a town there in Gibeah, in the land of those of Benjamin. And in there he meets this old man who seems to be hospitable to him. But there in chapter 19, verse 22, we read that this man, unfortunately, was being spotted. He was being spied upon. And thus corrupt, immoral men, sons of Belial, says the original language. We've already studied that Belial means sons that are worthless, men that have no value, men that have nothing to offer, perverse and corrupt men. These were the men, says chapter 19, verse 22, who surrounded this man's house. And if you will, read with me. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, that's the part that says sons of Belial in the original Hebrew, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally." I want you to check your books, brethren, those of you that are reading along with me, and I want you to be sure that what you are reading is indeed Judges chapter 19, verse 22, and not Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 4. For the diligent student of the Bible, you know that I am alluding to what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that I am referring to the fact that when Lot received those two angels in Scripture, the same thing happened. And this is why we've entitled our lesson that a world that ignores God surrenders over to immorality. When we're talking about surrendering, we're not talking about being conquered. We're not talking about being defeated, nor we are talking about losing in a battle. But we are making a willing and voluntary choice to give ourselves over to such an action. Notice that in chapter 19, verse 22, these were men of Israel. These were not inhabitants of Canaan. These were not inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah or the cities of the plain. Those cities had many years prior already been destroyed by God. And the Israelites knew. They had known and they were aware of this story, because remember that Genesis is considered to have been written by Moses himself. They had these writings of the Pentateuch. They knew of these stories. They were aware of how God had destroyed these cities of the plain because of that immorality. Not only that, we read in the book of Leviticus how God had already given them the law, and He had already declared to them that a man that lieth with another man shall surely die. And then God declares, because it is an abomination before the Lord. He also includes in that same list that a woman shall not lie with a beast of the field, that a woman shall not lie with another woman, that a man shall not lie with an infant, and so on and so forth. But in the book of Leviticus, a book that is focused on holiness, we see how God declares these crimes of passion, if you will, to be unholy and ungodly. And thus, once again, Judges chapter 19, verse 22, the inspired penman clearly proves why these men were sons of Belial, what made them worthless, what made them abominable, or as our New King James translated, perverted. You see, in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 22 and forward, we read and speak about the fact that they profess themselves to be wise. But in their, quote, wisdom, they became fools. And observe how the Apostle Paul in verse 23 describes what they deem to be wisdom. They believe that by changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, they were outsmarting God. That they didn't need God to reveal Himself because they could determine what God looked like and what He was like by looking at His creation. And remember that we've already established that covetousness is idolatry. And thus we prove here that we notice how when they ignored God and the idols were the ones that were listening to, these mute, dumb statues that could not speak, somehow these wise men could hear words proceeding from them. The words were not coming from those images. The words were not coming from those statuettes. The words were coming from their own hearts. If you will, go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Once again, observe. Observe that a world that surrenders itself, that ignores God, and surrenders itself over to immorality will repeat the same cycle that has already happened. We've already spoken about Genesis chapter 19. But observe in Genesis chapter 6, beginning there at verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." This, brethren, statement was true during the days of Lot. This statement was true during the days of King Josiah. And sadly, brethren, this statement is still true today in the 21st century. We've already established in our Bible study this morning that when the world has been infused by corruption, when the world has become run over and infected by the viral sin, it is because, of course, the households forgot to teach and ignored to instruct about God's Word and His works to their children. And thus this small thing that starts at home expands into the entire world. And because of this, we've seen time and time and again how God has had to purge out sin in order to be able to restore order in the world. But sadly, brethren, there is already a day that has been designated by our God, which only the Father knows according to Jesus Himself, where there will be no more purging, but rather the necessity of a complete destruction because it is beyond repair. The contamination is too great. But observe, brethren, that that contamination takes place because the world or mankind surrenders himself over to immorality. You know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, flee from sexual immorality. But the Apostle Paul also told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee idolatry, chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Flee idolatry. Well, there's a reason, brethren, why the Apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives us this recommendation. Because you see, in the ancient world as it is today, idolatry and fornication went hand in hand. Idolatry and fornication were siblings, if you will. One led to the other. And the reason why God constantly warned His people and He destroyed them, He destroyed these societies that were engaged into this immoral, illicit behavior, was because God knew that the lusts of the flesh were going to be enticed by these evil practices. And if you will, think about the worship of Moloch that required child sacrifices. If there was no type of promiscuity involved, if there was no type of fornication process taking place, where then would they get the children to burn alive? You see how these heinous crimes take place, brethren. But a world that ignores God will surrender itself over to immorality. And immorality is not exclusive to promiscuity. It is not exclusive to fornication. Because it is clearly immoral to shed innocent blood. Today we call it abortion. It is immoral to take the life of an innocent. We also call it euthanasia. It was immoral from the beginning when Cain shed Abel's blood. And it is still immoral today when we shed innocent blood. Notice that immorality is not simply sexual sins. But rather we see in the Bible that immorality is described by God as a heart whose intent of every thought is only evil continually. All we can think about is how to invent new ways to not grow tired and bored of sinful ways. This is the wisdom of the world. This is the wisdom of the world who has created new ways to have and find enjoyment in sin. You know, the other week, a few weeks ago, I was talking to the brethren who were lodging me. And they were appalled at the fact that there was this news report where there were these people on a boat who were with their camera phones who were recording a human being attacked by a shark. And instead of putting their phones down and jumping after that human being, they were recording the whole thing so they could upload it to their TikToks and Instagrams and get many likes. The fact that it was on news, international news by the way, with the headline, "Shark Attack Goes Viral." Notice how we continually are trying to find evil ways, brethren. What this means and what this explains to us is the desensitization that's taking place. When we, brethren, ignore God, we will then surrender over to immorality because we have been desensitized. It no longer bothers us. We thoroughly enjoy it. And because the small sin that I once practiced, the stealing of the 25 cents or stealing of the chips that I once did, was the thrill that I got away with it. But then when I keep doing it and I keep getting away with it, there's no longer any thrill in that. Well, what if I upgrade? What if I go further and I graduate from chips to maybe wallets? From wallets to watches. From watches to jewelry and so on and so forth. And I begin to reinvent myself. And I begin to think continually, how can I make sure that this never grows tired? What can I record now that will go viral? What can I record now that would catch the attention and make me famous and popular in an instant? Because that's what social media is in a nutshell. Instant gratification. Self-worship. Giving myself value, thinking that those thumbs up and those hearts are worth something. Brethren, Notice what happened there in Genesis 19:22. They had grown tired of women. They had grown tired of sleeping with women. Go back with me to Judges chapter 19. Notice, brethren, how the definition of what we just read in Genesis chapter 6 is clearly seen in conjunction with what we just read in Romans chapter 1. And observe how there we are able to read in chapter 19 how heinous this crime was, because observe verse 23, "But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, 'No, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage.'" Notice how desensitized society had become. This farmer, this man who had allowed this Levite and his concubine to lodge with them and his servant, was not so much appalled about the fact that they wanted to know him carnally, but he was more appalled about the fact that he was going to be seen as a bad host. "No, this man is my guest." Verse 24 tells us why. "Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing." He didn't have a problem with the sexual immorality. He had become so desensitized that he didn't see what was wrong with the fact that this group of men wanted to rape this one man. He was willing to give up his virgin daughter, and then, very arrogantly, offers the Levite's concubine as well. Who gave him that right? But this man became so afraid, and he became so focused with being a bad host, that instead of correcting the true fault and the true error, he added to it by offering in this man's place someone else. Notice, brethren, that a society that surrenders itself to immorality loses sight of its humanity. It loses sight of its humanity. The virgin daughter, the Levite's concubine, they were human beings. They were women. And this man offers both of them as if they were property. He offers both of them as if they were not as important as his guest. As that movie that has been made popular lately through those books says, he was offering them as tribute. "I will help you release your attention, and I will help you with your promiscuity. But do no harm to this man. Take these women instead. They're not as valuable. They're not as important. One of them is my daughter. Oh, and by the way, she's a virgin." Notice how this man did not even take into account the purity of his daughter. How he undervalued the fact that his daughter, without a doubt, very likely either a teenager or a young adult by this period, this man did not value that his daughter had kept herself unspotted in such a corrupt world from falling prey to fornication. It's almost as if it bothered him that she was not yet deflowered, if you will. But observe, brethren, observe the debased mind that God says in Romans chapter 1, he handed them over to. They had become so desensitized that they lost sight of our humanity. They lost sight of their own humanity as they lost sight of the humanity of others. And they were living by beast-like mentality, by animalistic intuition. Because what we read here is a man who was on survival mode. a man who was simply trying to survive and would do anything and sacrifice anyone to secure his survival. A world that ignores God surrenders itself over to immorality. And when it surrenders itself over to immorality, it will think evil continually because it becomes desensitized. But it would also lose sight of its humanity and become animalistic in nature. Brethren, Christ died for every single one of us, regardless of gender, regardless of social status, regardless of race, regardless of sin that we may have committed. There is no sin greater than the other. All sins were cleared in the blood of Christ. Regardless of age, regardless of whatever social construct society tries to impose upon us. The Bible teaches us that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everybody. It is universal. And the reason salvation is universal is because sin is also universal. And thus, for a universal problem, the Almighty God provided a universal solution. So who are we to want to deny Christ's blood to someone that we deem inferior to us? Who are we to even think that we are wiser than God? He died for everybody, not just those that he liked. We are to extend our hand of fellowship to everybody, not just those who I feel comfortable with. Enough with the cliques. Enough with the divisions. Enough with favoritism and being respecters of persons, brethren. When are we going to mature and be Christians and only Christians? Notice how when we begin to fall prey into these social constructs, we are surrendering over to immorality. Because we are all human beings, and therefore we are all sinners, and therefore we all needed the same saving grace of God. Hence why the Bible consistently tells us God is not a respecter of persons. But notice how a world that ignores God, that surrenders over to immorality, will lose sight of its humanity. But then you jump over to chapter 20, and because of time and because of the little ears in our audience, you go home and you read verses 25 through 30 before tonight. And read what happens for yourself. Read of the heinous crime for yourself. But in chapter 20, brethren, we see that a world that surrenders over to immorality defends that which is wrong. It defends that which is wrong. You will go back with me to Romans chapter 1. Let me read verse 32 to you one more time. And this final verse, in actuality, defines chapters 19, 20, and 21 of the book. And observe what it says. Who knowing, and the who referring to all those who have been described, right? Those who in their mind and in their knowledge gave over them, were given over to the debased mind, right? Those who have been desensitized. Notice, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Go with me now back to Judges chapter 20. Very quickly, as our time runs out. First, Judges chapter 20. And notice, brethren, notice what takes place there. Chapter 20, beginning there. Beginning there at verse 12. Then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now there deliver up the men, the perverted men, who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. They were defending the wicked. They were protecting these men who were criminals. The Israelites spoke right. These men, after their heinous crime under the law of Moses, were indeed deserving of death. There was sin in the camp, and that sin needed to be removed. But instead, the tribe of Benjamin decided, no, we defend our own. You will not put your hands on our brothers. We'd rather go to war with you. How many times do we defend family even though they're wrong? How many times do we justify their actions even though we know they're wrong? How many times do we uphold their excuses even though we know they are hollow and do not hold a light to God's word? You know what that is called in legal terms? It is called being an accomplice to the crime. The Bible calls this being an accomplice to sin. Because we know, brethren, what God's word says. But as Eli heard in 1 Samuel chapter 2, many times we honor our children, we honor our parents, we honor our preacher, we honor our elders, we honor our friends more than God. Because instead of correcting the wrong, we defend it and we protect them from the correction. Brethren, that is surrendering over to immorality. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that we must not participate in the unfruitful works of unrighteousness. But we are to walk as children of light. And then the Apostle Paul proceeds to describe what it means to walk as children of right. Reprimand that which is wrong. But brethren, how sad and how tragic, and I'll be very honest with you, how infuriating that those of us who want to walk in light, those of us who love, who actually love, who want to correct the wrong, we're the villains in today's society. We're the contentions was. We are the divisionists. We are the ones who are not compassionate and caring about our brethren. Just like the Benjamins were saying of the rest of Israel. When we surrender ourselves over to immorality, we will call that which is evil, good, and that which is good, evil, as Isaiah 5:20 teaches us. Because that's what's happening here. The men of Benjamin actually defended the crime, the heinous crime that took place. Isn't it true that in our society the same is happening today? Speak out against homosexuality and you're the one who's in the wrong. Right now I spoke out against euthanasia and abortion. I'm the one who's wrong. I'm the one that doesn't understand. I'm the one that's not compassionate. But what about compassionate for that life? For that child, that innocent child? What about compassion for those people who are being hurt? Whose souls are bound to hell if they don't repent and turn away from their sins. Brethren, we have to be careful that as the church, we're not surrendering over to immorality because we've ignored the word of God. Because our friends, our family, our loved ones, are the ones who have been painted with the brush of sin. On the contrary, we must be the first ones to love them by correcting them, running into the burning house that is sin to pull them out to safety. But a world that ignores God will surrender itself over to immorality. It will surrender itself to immorality by thinking evil continually, being desensitized, by losing sight of humanity and falling into those primal animalistic ways, by losing sight, if you will, of righteousness, by defending what is evil and condemning what is right. No wonder it's submerged in anarchy, as we will see tonight. We are an upside-down society, brethren. But notice that the root is ignoring God. We end this morning's lesson with Psalm 14. Psalm 14, and we will use this as our bridge for tonight. Psalm 14 reads, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." This is a world that ignores God. This is what a world that surrenders itself over to immorality is described by divine lips. It is a foolish world. It is an atheistic world. It is an abominable and corrupt world where no one seeks God, and thus no, not one person does what's right in the eyes of God. So my friend, do you want to continue being and contributing to the problem? Or do you want to start by making a change in your life by putting on Christ as your Savior this morning? You see, God has already provided a solution for this immorality. God has already provided a way of escape from this world. But you have to be willing to accept the ransom that has been given for you through the blood of Christ. You have to be willing to obey the commandment in the waters of baptism, to which you will then be washed away all of the sins that you've ever committed. No matter how many you have, no matter how profound you think they may be, there is not a sin that the power of God cannot wash away through the blood of Christ. And you can be made clean this morning. Don't you want to begin solving this problem by solving your own life in the sight of God? If there's anyone subject to this invitation this morning, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.